Welcome, adventurers, to Probability of Demise, the podcast where critical fumbles meet critical facepalms. Join us as we delve into the darkest dungeons, slay the stupidest gremlins, and roll enough ones to make a beholder weep. Forget epic storylines and heroic deeds. Here we celebrate the chaotic beauty of bad rolls, questionable decisions, and characters with more charisma than sense. We'll be your dungeon masters of disappointment, guiding you through campaigns where the only guaranteed treasure is a mountain of laughter, and maybe some psychic scarring. So grab your Nat 1 dice, strap on your anxiety helmets, and prepare to witness the glorious train wreck that is our D&D journey. Because, in the end, even if your character dies face first into a pile of pudding, at least you'll have the dice god's permission to laugh your ass off.
Welcome back to our pod.
Hello.
These are my friends. I don't share them anymore. They're all mine. You can't have them.
Word of the day.
And now our word of the day.
Hello, folks of all kinds. today, we are going to roll this beautiful 100 die that Jason, above me, gifted to me, and see what our word is. Da-da-da-da. Okay, so today's number is 70, and the word is what?
Laughing no, for a me. Second, I thought the word was 70.
The word is 70. No, this is a very hard word for Jessica. You know, like when Elmo's like, that's a very big word for Elmo. That's how I feel with this word.
Balsamic vinegar?
Yeah. Is obfuscate. Obfuscate.
Obfuscate,
yeah. Yes.
Obfuscate.
Which means it's to render obscure, unclear, unintelligible. And okay. Used in a sentence is the complicated instructions seemed designed to obfuscate the true purpose of the machine.
Well done.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Obfuscate.
Thank you. That was number 70.
Beautiful, beautiful. And Larissa had the word last time, as far as I can.
She did. I was so impressed.
Keep my brain together on that. And I think since I put Gus under pressure with having to do it in a fun, interesting way, like come up with somebody that, or some whatever, when using it, I am going to say the same for Alua. But Alua, would you think that this is a patron or a colleague where you might have like some history and get a little bit of that magical inspiration?
I think I probably deal with clients more than peers as much.
So whatever it is, you'll like come up with a reason why you got it from a client. Welcome back to the thrilling saga of Alua, Gus, and Serafina. In our last episode, this intrepid trio reunited after some couple weeks of downtime hanging out. But rest assured, trouble was brewing, pun intended, just around the corner. First up, we have the enigmatic Alua, summoned by a mysterious letter from none other than Sticky Beak. Intrigue has swirled as Alua has shared this cryptic message with everyone, and everybody's kind of wondering about, like, where? Meh? Meanwhile, Gus's world was turned upside down a bit when he discovered that someone's trying to muscle in on his property. Quick trip to the lawyer's office definitely confirmed the threat, but also maybe threw Gus out of the tailspin a little bit. We don't know. Seeking solace and perhaps some clues, the gang gathered together at Alua's parlor, that where the many friendly faces of Alua's companions within the space came through, and they enjoyed some delicious treats and began their quest to unravel the mysteries surrounding Sticky Beak and the cryptic clue. Remember the limerick? Well, those clever investigators folded it just right, revealing two key symbols, a magnifying glass symbolizing Gus's keen detective skills and a pair of goggles, hinting at Serafina's sharp wit and observation abilities. Armed with these newfound insights, our heroes are ready for the next adventure. That's right, folks. The next stop is Brew University. What secrets lie within its hallowed halls? Will our heroes find Sticky Beak, and what challenges await them in this academic setting? All right, y'all, you are standing in front of the edifice known as Brew University, a alchemist slash brewing house that has gained some fame for training up some brew masters. What are you up to?
I'm just standing in front of it, staring at it, remembering like 100+ years ago when I was a patrolman and probably had to come here all the time for stupid drunk students doing things.
Yeah, they probably didn't have the same reputation they do now 100 years ago. It was definitely in its nascent stages. It was more frat house than actual alchemical brewmaster. Now the reputation seems to be a little bit more on the up and up. There's still the occasional big bad party, and there's definitely always a problem when too many dwarves decide that they are going to invent some new brew.
I guess, well, maybe we should find a Lewis symbol before we go find the door.
Symbol?
The paper, and I pull it out. You know how it, like, folds up into things? And I quickly, like, fold it into the magnifying glass. I fold it into the goggles. I'm like, okay, so we think that one paragraph is for you. And it'll fold into something representing you. But we don't really know you. So we don't know what it would be.
Hmm.
I try to, like, follow the creases, but I couldn't figure it out.
Can I see it for a moment?
Yeah, sure. Here you go.
And quick break DM. I know it says for the spy on the page, but Alua doesn't really consider herself that. So her impression would be of something pertaining to her day job, as it were. Okay. So she's going to attempt to fold it into a lute.
Okay.
And I'm going to show her, be like, so like this fold, I think that one goes to you. And like that fold, I think, goes to like your symbol, hoping to give
as
her like
she
a.
She says this, all of her lenses advance. Have come down to zoom in, and she's showing you stuff you can't even see.
Hopefully, giving her an advantage on anything that may happen.
We'll see what she tries to do. What does Alua do?
I try to fold it into a lute, assuming that that's...
With the support of your friend Serafina, you can roll this dexterity check with advantage.
Woo, advantage!
Because that's done me so well so far.
It's going to do you great.
I would love to roll double digits.
You will.
That's cocked.
Positivity. It makes it happen.
Positivity.
Okay. All right. So this was dexterity check 21.
Awesome. So as you begin to fold it and kind of aware of who you are as a person, you kind of like make some insightful moves just based on who you view yourself as. Serafina pointing out every once in a while when you get a little stuck that there's another fold that hasn't been utilized and you may backtrack a little bit and then retrack. But fairly quickly, you fold it up and you found the third symbol, a lute.
What is that?
My instrument of choice.
What is it?
A lute?
I've never seen one of those. Do you like
really?
Blow into it? Or do you like bang on it?
No, it's a stringed instrument, but it's... rather than
like a violin.
I'm just looking at Serafina like
No, you don't use a bow. You play directly on the strings, but it's similar to a harp, but smaller and more transportable.
I have seen a harp. Okay. So tiny harp, got it.
Yes, it's similar to, yes.
Will you play for us? I mean, not right now. You probably don't even have one, but like eventually? I'd love to hear you.
If we go back, if we end up back at Sincere House, then sure. I would love to play for you both.
Yes. Awesome.
And does anything happen once we hit the third symbol? No? Okay. So I guess the question is, and I'm really not good at puzzles. Do we think that the things each of us are looking for are here? Or do we need to visit those first?
I believe first we are looking for a hidden door.
Do we have any idea where to even start to look for said door?
In there.
Just in there, in this giant building.
Well, after you, good sir.
Is the door like just open, like you can just walk in, or
it's one of those spaces that you can walk in on the front? You see a small desk or plinth of sorts made of wood. Harried-looking servers are running about, but there's also just harried-looking individuals running about, screaming about various brewing things. We need to clean the floors. Sanitation for proper brewing is a must. And then another individual running by screaming about the need for additional hops, a lack of aromatics, just various cacophony of noises and such. And you are in a place that both serves but also creates and makes various brews.
Maybe we could go back to that room with the big things that, you know, like makes it. Because, you know, the thing said, you know, about fermenting. So what if we went to the room where the fermenting is happening?
Works for me. As a place
at least a starting part.
Perhaps we could talk to a server or an employee about a...
I'll approach the desk. And there's someone sitting there, right? No.
No. They've moved away already. Just in the short time that you were pausing to talk amongst each other, it has already been abandoned. And another person sees you, waves to you, and then keeps moving. It is a cacophony of moosh and people in all sorts of different states. And you can see a couple people who are like posted up at the bar. But then there's a beat or two as just additional chaos continues to pervade the space. But eventually, with patience, somebody finally comes up out of breath. Oh, what can we do for you?
Hi, sorry, I know you're very busy, but we were wondering
quite busy. Yes.
If you're wondering, doing any tours today?
Tours. Oh, sure, tours. Just a moment, ma'am. And they speed off. It's probably like 15 minutes later and somebody comes up. In the meantime, you've been offered taste tests from various people. You've seen somebody say, have you been helped? Have you... all those sort of like normal what happens in a place that is busy but also semi-service oriented. And a stout little dwarven woman comes up and says, you're here for a tour?
Yes, please. We would love.
Onward and upward. Follow me, folks. Welcome to the greatest Brewminster University ever invented. And she begins to gesture around the main hall that you're in, pointing out the various features, talking about the history of trinkets. Of a lot of the items on display here are representative of pranks pulled by students in the last 50 or 25 years. There's definitely a celebration of those types of things. And then she, as the tour continues, she brings you into a back room and you see all sorts of awards and trophies, and she, well, over here, you just see this. These are awards for the brews that have come out of the student section, and these are awards that we deliver. You know, we really shouldn't. This, it's not very important. Well, it is important. I mean, you should go ahead and look at everything if you would like to, but I'm just going to keep heading down this way. And she's just kind of like bustling. It is one of those tours where you feel like the tour guide doesn't have time to do the tour.
Does she eventually, like, if I, do I get a sense that if she were to keep bustling that she would leave us on our own unattended?
Very much so.
Okay. I'm going to just hang back a little and just whisper to my colleagues, say, I think we've at least made it. Are we in like a back section or not?
Yeah, you are okay. Very much in a back section.
I think we can just let her go about on her way, and she may forget about us, and we can explore as needed. And if anyone happens upon us, we just claim ignorance. And does that make sense to everyone?
Works for me.
Yeah, definitely.
It's fun when you don't need a warrant.
I love that that's what Gus says out loud and is in Gus's thoughts. Like, wait, this is a lot more fun when you don't need a warrant.
It just gives you kind of like a...
I'm going to cast Detect Magic.
Okay, go ahead and cast Detect Magic. While you're casting Detect Magic to make this switch happen, I just need a nice, solid group stealth roll to see if you're able to slip out from their observation without problem. What I do...
I am no help.
For group stealth is I take an average of everything, and if somebody rolls a nat 1, we hope somebody rolled a nat 20.
So 7 for me.
Okay. 23 for me.
What is that?
23?
23.
16.
All right. Let me do a little math. Great. You all slip away. I think for a moment, Gus is so caught up in the idea of not needing a warrant that he almost trips down the stairwell that you all head down to, like, slip away from this individual who continues to just ignore you and move forward, and it has bustled ahead. But you slip down this this wooden stairwell, and as you make your way to the bottom, it's cooler down here. It smells delicious. Hot mash has been cooled down here so many times that that smell of the hot mash cooling has embedded itself into the wooden walls here, and the stone floor is also just, there's something about the space that feels both quiet, cool, calm. You hear the bustle through the stairwell, but the further down this hallway, and then it opens up into a broader space, and you see storage for brews. And it's quite a big hall.
As we keep walking, I'm going to keep, I can cast Detect Magic at will, so I'm just going to keep casting.
Yeah, as with that cast of Detect Magic, you do eventually come to a section of barrels that are glowing to your magical sight. There's a lot of things that glow in Overton and Underton, so this could be anything. But you do catch sight of them, and there are 3 of them.
We should check these out. They have magic properties.
And as you check out those and you see the magical properties of them, I would like anybody who wants to, given the heads up by Gus, to roll a perception check.
I'm so sorry, a what check?
Perception.
Thank you.
3.
Gus, the glow of the barrels is too bright to your magical sight to see much beyond them in this moment.
13.
You, Alua, begin looking around, and lots of barrels around, but what are you seeing? You don't know. Kind of checking out, boys. Oh, that's a very clean space. And your attention is flashed forward here, Serafina. You did a lot of celebrating.
Yeah. And I forgot my number. 22.
Okay.
Because I have advantage. So the first one was not good.
Alua, your attention is focused on these 3 barrels. Serafina, seeing that you're two friends are much more aware of that area in front of them, you begin to look behind and to the side, and you find a basket. A basket full of trinkets in various shapes.
Trinkets as in like...
small little pewter images.
I would like to go over and look at what these images are.
As you come through them, I would like you to just to roll a roll 2d12s. We'll see what you see first. See if you're lucky.
Okay.
To see what I can see, see.
All right. 11.
11.
11.
With an 11, you pluck out one item that looks familiar. It's a cog. And then as you pluck out the cog, you see just below it a little tiny pewter piece that looks like your goggles. They don't look exactly like your goggles, but they look like a pair of goggles.
I go, ooh.
I think I found a thing.
Alua, as you're hearing the I found a thing, you note that there's little impressions on each of these barrels.
Mm-hmm.
Something's missing.
Can you bring them over here?
I got one. I'm gonna go give it to her.
She hands you what looks like a pair of goggles.
I'm gonna look for the magnifying glass in the basket.
Roll a investigation check.
I'm going to check the spots that are missing something. Is that also an investigation check?
Alua, that is also an investigation check.
10.
With a 10, it takes you a while, but eventually you find a little icon of a magnifying glass.
16.
You can see that there's these little spots that are about the same size as these various trinkets. As long as you can figure out which ones go where, in what order.
And there's three barrels, you said.
Three barrels.
Okay. Can I see the little, what you found?
I hand it over. There's,
between the three barrels, are there anything different about them, or are they all three the same?
All three exactly the same.
Okay. Is there one? Where are these from?
Over there. And I point to the basket.
Okay, and I go over to the basket and I look for one.
Roll a.
Another investigation check.
Investigation.
That one's not as good.
That was awesome. Oh, I liked that version.
I meant my roll, you shit. 10.
It takes you again a little bit of time, but eventually you'll find the loot.
And I take them.
Serafina, while she's hunting, and honestly, Serafina, even while Gus was hunting, there's been a little bit of time passage. Did you do anything during that time?
Would I have seen Alua looking at the barrels, or was I still looking at my own stuff?
Now that you've stopped and paused here for a moment, and especially with that previous roll that you made, you do notice that like each barrel is actually tagged with a little placard or nameplate. And these three have a different sort of plate on the stone floor right below them.
I would like to read them and see what these say versus the other ones.
As you read that, you see the last limerick of the story says the same one that Alua's paper had on it. Says, "Together your strengths must intertwine, for only then will the path be thine. Reveal your professions, speak them with pride, and the way to the meeting room will confide."
Can I also look at these barrels and try? I know that Alua didn't see anything different about them, but I'd like to also look at them. I think I want to specifically look at what makes them different compared to the other three. No. Yeah, I just want to look at them.
Ahead and roll an investigation check to like really check them out. But visually, at first glance, the only things that are different are what I've shared. There's a little bit of an inset that seems to be about the same size as many of these trinkets that you were looking through in the basket. And that there is a placard at the bottom.
22.
As you look, you can see that it's almost perfectly the same. Looking to the left and right, you can see instead of this little placard that says this limerick, it's a description of what's in the barrel and which student it belongs to, what thesis or research it's attached to. The one to the right of these three is one that's listed as for a specific class, a generic taste testing class. And then further down the way, you can see that there's others with specific courses listed on them. And every once in a while, there's one that's listed for a specific student and their research or thesis. But these three, the major difference is there's a little inset where one of these little trinkets could fit, and that there's the limerick written below where everyone else has just a description of the barrel.
Can I see which one would look like maybe the trinket I found? Because that's the one I've seen.
None of them have a visual reference that matches any of the trinkets. They just look like little insets that would fit the size of these trinkets.
I'm going to wait for Alua to come back because she has my trinket. And I'm going to relay everything I just found to them. And just wait until she comes back over.
Yeah, and if you're going to wait, then all three of you eventually just, you're sitting there in front of it. The three trinkets are currently in Alua's hands.
I think if we... And for Rurik, these are just like little slots, like kind of like this, or are they like inlays?
Little circular inlay spots. Circular. Places that are clearly intended for something small, like the size of these little trinkets.
Perfect. Maybe we could, I mean, there's three of them and three of us. Maybe if we just stand in front of it and put our trinkets in, something will happen.
The poem also says to speak our profession with pride.
So speak our profession?
I'm going to take my, there's no like discerning marks about which thing should go where or.
No.
Mm-mm.
Okay. I'm just going to like take my magnifying glass. I'm starting to shh my own words now. Take the magnifying glass and just set it on one of the places and just go, I am a detective and also a painter.
Nothing happens.
Okay, so nothing happened. I'll pick it up again.
I'm going to pick it up and look at mine and go... I mean, I am a, and I turn to Gus and I say, I am a comchere.
As you say, you are a comchere, the ceiling tiles again to be in motion, molding themselves.
Wait, what?
I'll hold it up. I am a detective.
Again, the tiles get more movement, more glow.
And artist.
There's a kind little of. Bit more glow, but it's like an incremental tiny amount, whereas the glow from... one to the other was big. The painter just like bloop a little bit more low.
And a spy.
There's a tiny, tiny little incremental blip as you add spy.
We both just probably look at Serafina like.
I just am like staring at my thing like,
Just say what your job is, your profession.
I don't,
loudly, I think.
I work for my brother!
Nothing happens to increase or decrease the motion of the things.
The note was to the tinkerer, so maybe you're a tinkerer?
But this, I don't get really paid for it.
But that's where
I just like doing it.
Passion is.
I like to build and invent things and help my brother at his agency.
With the invent, you see a little bit of a deeper glow, but it fades back as what you've just said is not a title of a profession, but just part of things. But you can all see that invent, and then it...
Try inventor.
Inventor!
It moves again, all three words now having been said, inventor, comcher, and detective, the ceiling tiles reform, and you see written in this order, witness musical gears.
Witness musical gear. Okay.
Well, the message.
I'm going to put the detective thing under witness.
You put it under that word in the barrel slot that matches to it, and the barrel rotates.
I put mine in the middle one, I guess.
That barrel also starts to rotate.
I put mine in the gear.
All of them are rotating together, and the wall starts to crack open behind the barrels. The barrels get pulled back a bit, lifted and pulled away, and you see a long, narrow tunnel that seems to go downslope.
Secret tunnel! Okay. Sorry, I couldn't resist. You saw the literal the fight, right? Okay.
Is it dark or is it like lit up?
It is dark. Dark.
Okay, I'm going to hold up my staff and cast light. And I'm walking forward like Gandalf.
Light fills the space as you wander forward into this dark descending.
It warned us next time.
Well,
I was right next to you. I was not prepared.
Walk in the dark? I could see. If you want me to turn it off, I'll turn it off.
No, it was just, you know, it's the sudden bright light right next to me.
It's a very cool image of you with this light. I like it.
Roll a performance check, Gus.
Oh, 11. I have a decent bonus for performance for some reason.
You look debonair and powerful, but so small.
Small. S-M-O-L.
Don't be a heightist. All right. I'm going to move forward into the tunnel.
As you continue moving.
Tunnel!
You cast light about, and all three of you enter into the Labyrinth of Secrets. The tunnel opens up into a fairly large space where you can see several small cages at each corner of the room and another passageway ahead.
I'm just going
to... And you said cages.
Yeah, small.
Like a cage.
Cages, like the size that you might catch rodents in.
Mm. Oh, okay.
So like not us cage.
I'm just going to look at either of them and go, in case you need it, and cast Bardic Inspiration on each of them. Or wait, they only do one at a time?
I think you can have multiple active.
You have to check them off, but you can cast them. Yeah. Okay. I know a guy that played a bard in another campaign.
They last like 10 minutes?
I believe so, yeah.
Good question.
I don't remember. I feel like it's like a 10-minute. Okay. So, yeah. The three of you move forward through that space to the next space.
I want to just, as we walk by the cages, just check them out real fast.
Roll a quick investigation or a perception check, depending on how quickly you're doing.
Okay, because I would then run after them if they were to get farther away.
So, falling a little bit behind, you're going to roll an investigation check.
Yeah. Wow, that's terrible. Okay. And then we determine that this is a 9. Investigation. 15?
With a 15, you notice that there's a little piece of cheese laid very carefully. You can see the mechanism and how it's attached, and that this would collapse down and capture, not kill, a rodent should it get in there. It has not been sprung. A quick glance around the room, comparing them, you see that the other ones have been baited but not sprung.
Oh.
They all appear to be live capture traps.
I don't spring the traps, but I want to, like, knock the cheese off of them as I walk.
Yes, kicking each of the cheese off of each of them or knocking it off of it. I would love for you to roll a dexterity check. We'll use one to count them all.
Jess's foot's gonna get caught. Da, 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 da.
How much is that a bardic inspiration again?
D6.
Oh, D6? Oh, yeah, I never was. No, it starts at 6. You're right. Sorry.
18. Ooh, not bad after all. 19.
You knock the cheese off, not springing the traps in any way, but the cheese just kind of falls off and out of the cage, each of the cages, landing on the ground, which you notice is a little bit damp, but not terribly damp.
And then I run after him.
Okay. Lua and then Gus.
I go, that's for my god, because the rat's name is my god.
So two of you have moved further ahead, and you've seen that there's another, you've gone deeper down, and you can see that there's another chamber opening up ahead of you. You can hear the sounds of water dripping and landing in other water sources of some sort.
Bloop.
Exactly.
As we walk that way, I just turn to Seraphina and say, I didn't realize you were religious.
What? No, I'm not religious.
You said what you just did, you said was for my god.
Yeah, my god. Yeah. Oh! No, not like God, like the rat. His name was my god. That's what he's told me his name was.
That must have been a very interesting conversation.
Yeah. Don't you remember I was like, whenever I was talking to him, I would always say, my god. Because, you know, it'd be like saying, hey, Lua, I need you. I'd go, my god, I need you.
I understand that now, but you have to understand that was a very one-sided conversation, and so we had no way of knowing.
I forgot about that. But no, I'm not religious. Nah.
Good to know.
Are you?
No, not particularly. I try to be well versed so that I can speak on the subject when it's brought up in conversation, but
if you had to pick one, who'd you pick?
I don't particularly enjoy the idea of placing my fate into the hands of anyone else besides me, so I haven't thought on it much.
Yeah, that's valid. Yeah. Alrighty then.
I suppose if I had to, probably one who patrons the arts.
Oh. Yeah, I don't even know any of their names, so I couldn't even tell you which one that was, so.
There's a few, but...
Oh, nice.
As you go
I'll
down
have to go to the library.
As you go down to this deeper space, you walk through, and it's another room. There's more traps set here. They're still the same size, but they're a little buried underwater, and you can see that whatever the bait was has actually floated away from the traps. You can find no evidence of that for Seraphina's benefit. But you have reached a deeper level, and there's yet another passageway ahead of you.
Is there like a, are these like randomly set out, or are they just like lining the room?
Sure. Set in the corners of each room, four in each corner so far in both rooms. So eight total so far.
Huh. Yeah, okay.
Continuing forward into the next space, there's a little bit of water flow underneath you as it spills out of that last room. You come to another room that, of course, is a little flooded because, yet again, water is flowing, but it's danker down here, smelly even. And again, you make out four traps in each of the corners.
Man, they must really have a rodent problem.
Apparently.
Another passageway ahead. Do you choose to
keep Meanwhile, going? What Gus is thinking is that something's down here that eats live rat. I'm going to keep that to myself for now.
You continue going further down, deeper into the space. Room by room, more traps. All unsprung. Until eventually you come to one of the rooms with the traps, and everything seems to be pretty much the same. But you can see there's two passages going off to either direction, but ahead of you is a passageway that is full of debris. Something collapsed here. Very, very recently.
There's no way through it?
You can see a small little nook up in the top, and you can see two little pieces of parchment saturated with water, kind of like half coming out of the little nook of a entrance space.
I am going to try to climb up and get those.
You climb up and you, I would like you to roll a acrobatics or athletics check. I think athletics makes the most sense unless you're doing some.
13 for athletics.
Okay. You climb up there and you pull the two pieces of soggy parchment down, and looking at them, you can see that they were folded as birds, and one is addressed to you and one is addressed to Serafina.
Okay, I will climb down and I will hand Serafina her parchment.
I hesitantly open it.
It's smudged, Serafina, quite a bit, so you can't make out all of it, but it looks like it's written by Sticky Beak, and it says something along the lines of, "Oh, I've been trapped seeking out your help. Please check in with the others and come down and help me get out of the little bit of a sticky situation I got myself into. I know I already owe you all a favor, but I would definitely double down on that if you could get me out of here. I could get out on my own, but I'm trying to stay focused here. If you could just gather the others and come down. And don't worry about what happens next." And as you look at the little piece of parchment and you finish reading what happens next, you see that all the letters try to reform themselves and they become stuck. And then eventually, after a little bit, some of them weave together and you can see written, "In the heart of," and then it's a big smudge, "where secrets," big smudge, "a hidden," big smudge, "awaits your intent. But to pass through," smudge, "of the past," smudge, "curious," smudge. And you can see that it's the same overall as you read through it. Lots of smudges, lots of words, but it doesn't quite make a cohesive explanation. And then even as you watch it, you can see the ink that has moved itself start to smudge out entirely.
I assume mine is the same if I open it. Similar kind of letter.
You open yours up as well. Mm-hmm. You can see the letters on yours are even more damaged, and they, even as you look at them after you read the first bit, you see them try to reform and they just turn into a big black smear that's slowly slides down the page.
Okay. It appears he tried to send a letter to all of us, but yours is the only one that got out.
I guess that makes more sense. I was surprised to have been the only one to receive any
communication
from him. I was going to say correspondence.
Oh.
Well, we can't go that. I can't fit through that hole at the top, right?
No, your hand couldn't fit through that hole. It's impressive that one piece of parchment made it through there, much less three that clearly two didn't, but much less three.
Okay. All right, shall we go left or right?
I'm going to look at
either. Are there any traps in here?
Yes, there are two that are visible. Where two others should be, there's rubble.
Hmm. Okay.
I'm going to look down either passage to see if I can spot a difference between the two of them.
Go ahead and roll a perception check.
I'm going to watch her do that, like walk with her while she does it.
Are you doing that to try to give her advantage by also looking, or?
Sure, yes.
Okay, go ahead and roll with advantage, Lua.
Yeah, first roll was better. Thanks anyways. 21.
As you look down the passageway to the left, you can see that it curves slightly, but it's still going downward. You can see that there's a little bit of flickering green light, but maybe it's not flickering. It just seems to be pulsing more than flickering. And as you check out to the right, you can see that it's just a dark tunnel. There's no light source down there.
Can I see anything down the dark tunnel with my dark vision?
Yeah, go ahead and roll a perception check separately.
Perception! 16.
You see that this one also curves down like the other one, and that's as much as you can make out.
It looks similar to the other one down there.
Down the dark one?
Like blocking the light from my thing and like looking down the... Yes.
Well, this one looks possibly different. Should we try that way? Change of scenery?
Works for me.
As we get to like the entrance for that path, for that way, I'm going to take a tube of lipstick out of my bag, whatever, and I'm just going to draw like a little star on the side on the wall.
Yeah, a little marker. Mm-hmm. You head down the other tunnel, having left your mark behind all of you going down. It doesn't matter. The air is a little heavy now. I mean, it's been heavy with the dampness. The sounds are the rhythmic dripping from the water. And as you turn that corner into the light, you make out all three of you. And with your additional light, Gus, it's very clear, although you think that without it, with the pulsing of the glow, it might actually be harder to make out. Walls carved from rough-hewn stone and darkness at the corners is banished temporarily and then brought back by these mushrooms that are clinging to the ceiling, their glow fading in and out. Their caps are the size of dinner plates, and they pulse with that light, giving the chamber without your light, Gus, in those areas that your light isn't hitting, an emerald, amethyst, and ochre kind of visual effect. It's mesmerizing, a little unsettling. It's almost like the ceiling where those mushrooms are collected in mass is breathing. Beneath them...
I don't like it.
Beneath them, you can make out that the floor is carpeted in moss. Little tendrils as you just even step in, kind of brush your ankles, and then you can see the remains of skeletons. Animal or human, you really can't tell. They just lay scattered amongst that undergrowth of moss. Most of them have been bleached by time and the constant damp. Yes.
As a deep gnome, do I have any knowledge of these, like flora or whatever?
Of the fauna or the flora?
Good call, good call.
Go ahead and roll a history check. It'll be a nature check, sorry. nature check? 15. Because you have history with that space, that's why I'm having you roll the nature check.
15. Yep.
You are fairly certain that this moss is a natural moss. It's not under dark creation. Neither of the mushrooms are a natural item. They themselves are not dangerous, but I think it does clue you in to look for creatures that would use it as a refuge, place to hide, some creatures to even lurk.
Who wants to go first? I can, I suppose.
I don't really want those. That moss is really high.
I'm gonna grab a rock or something.
Tickle me.
From rubble and toss it into the moss and see what happens.
You toss the rock, it tumbles. Its sound is reduced because of the mosses, but it's still a bit of a noise. You hear some scuttling. And you catch sight of a little rat's tail going deeper into the moss.
Rats! I wonder if they know my god. Or is that... That might not be... It's not nice to assume all rats know each other.
Maybe you want to try talking to them?
Oh, I can do that! Okay, hold on.
I have to admit, my knowledge of rat culture is rather sparse.
Mine as well.
Okay. I reach up onto my horn. I taggle one of my little coins that has a rune on it. And I cast Speak with Animals.
Okay.
You cast it. And I squat down at the edge of the moss because you said it's kind of tall, right? Like it's ankle thick, height?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. So I just squat at the edge and I go, hello. Hello, friends. My name, I'm Serafina. How are y'all today?
You hear...
Just squatting and, waiting.
You hear, what? They're talking to us. What? You hear another one say, test them out. Ask them a question. Another...
I like questions. I can answer questions.
She likes questions. And you, Alua and Gus, just hear chittering of rodents. And it's kind of alarming because there's a lot of them. A lot of chittering. But not horribly.
And I go, they're going to ask me questions.
Hear a question. What do you call a rat who's always nervous?
I turn to them. I go, what do you call a rat that's always nervous?
I don't know.
Gus, do you know?
I'm not much of a joking person. I don't know this one.
Oh, is it a joke? Hey, excuse me, is that a joke or a question?
They don't know the answer to our jokes. Oh, they're terrifying. Oh, we should get out of here. And you hear scuttling
wait,
as
no,
they
don't
begin
leave.
To move further
wait.
Away. Roll a persuasion check.
See, I should have brought that cheese.
Okay. Cheese? Did as you say cheese, the scuttling stops. You don't even have to roll that persuasion check now.
I have cheese! And I look at Alula, I have cheese! I'm assuming you had cheese on the table, right?
Yes. And the box that I gave you, and I always keep snacks on hand, remember?
Oh, yeah. Excuse me. Hello. Yeah. We have cheese. Are you hungry? And yes. There's no traps. I know there were some upstairs. You could just have it. And
the king takes care of those. No worries.
What?
The king.
The king?
Yes.
Like king of rats or king of Oh, there's a king of rats?
Oh, yeah.
I go, there's a king of the rats. He takes care of the traps.
Hey, meaning he sets them? I got a question for
you before you give us the cheese to test you out.
Oh, okay, okay.
What do you call a rat who's really good at hiding?
Hey guys, what do you call a rat that's really good at hiding?
Invisible?
Aren't all rats good at hiding?
We don't know.
You hear really close to you, and I need you to roll a perception check.
Oh gosh. Oh, that's not great. Let's see. Okay. Perception. 13.
Ooh. You hear a little too late the answer from a different voice of a rat. A master of dis-cheese! And your bag feels much lighter suddenly. And you see a rat scuttle away with most of your
pocket
snacks.
Picked by a rat.
Oh, my snacks. Why didn't you took my snacks? I would have shared.
You hear another rat voice. What do you call a rat who wins the lottery?
I clamp on all my pockets.
You see as Seraphina closes up every pocket she has, and she has a lot.
So I'm just constantly, like, touching, because I have a lot, yeah.
You okay, dear?
I think they're going to steal from me again.
Oh, perfect. Alua, could you roll a perception check as Seraphina asks, or says that she thinks that they're going to steal from her again?
That's a nat one.
You just hear the voice saying in like a Doppler effect as it goes further and further away from you, a cheddar millionaire. But you can feel your snack pocket that you keep snacks in. It's a little deflated.
Me?
Yes.
But I can't understand them, right?
You can't understand them. It's Seraphina that hears it. You hear the chittering.
I'm sorry. Did they just... Okay. Can we make a deal with them to in exchange for either information or something so that we can just give them what they want instead of them taking it from us?
Excuse me, snack thieves. Can we have a discussion regarding the trade of giving you exactly what you want so you can stop stealing from us in exchange for information? Please.
They're trying to make an honest rat of us. They're trying to make honest rats of all of us. Do we like that? Well.
You like it.
Roll a persuasion check.
Persuasion plus, what is that? 2, 7.
You, only if you could answer this question.
Okay.
What do you call a rat who loves to gamble?
And he says, we have to answer a question. What do you call a rat who likes to gamble?
A high rat roller?
That's pretty good. I kind of like that, but Gus, do you have anything? No? Yes?
You did?
No, I've got nothing. Not my forte.
We think the answer is a high rat roller.
That's... You hear tons of chittering now. Terrible. And then you hear one of them say, "Doesn't she know it's a whisker risk taker?" And as they say it, they all start chittering. And a larger rat seems to move into the space that you can all see. It's not just one rat. It's multiple rats all bound together. They seem to be dragging themselves forward. And as they drag themselves forward, you hear Seraphina, a kind of a conglomeration of voices say, "They have nothing but themselves. Let's feast on their bodies."
Oh boy.
The multiple rats say they're going to feast on our bodies.
Interesting.
Can you not do that?
Can you let them know that if they attempt that, we will be forced to defend ourselves?
The pretty one says that if you do that, we have to defend ourselves. I mean that one.
I can't understand you. You're speaking rat. It's fine.
Yes. Can we not understand her? Or can we?
I think we can
understand her side, right?
I don't think so.
It's up to you. It's not really up to Seraphina how she chooses to interpret the speak with animals. If she's truly speaking the language of the animals, then I feel like maybe you don't understand.
Let us roll a dice. I don't know. 1 to 10 will be they understand. 10 and 11. Up. 11 and up, they don't. It's an 11. They don't understand.
So you have no idea what she's saying.
I'm just going squeak, 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 squeak.
Squeaker, squeak, squeak, and squeak.
Roll
squeaker,
an intimidation squeak, check, but it's not very intimidating with disadvantage.
Well, a not so intimidating check.
Wait, 7, 19.
Okay. I'm beginning to understand all the rat traps.
Mm! Second one was a 20. But I still rolled a 14, which isn't bad. So what am I doing?
Intimidation.
Intimidation. Plus 2. So 14, 15, 16.
With a 16, you see most of the ancillary rats back away and then start to disappear into other nooks and crannies of the dark. But that massive rat trundles forward a bit and goes,
"If you want into our home, you're going to have to prove yourselves against me."
Wait, I'm sorry. You, me? There's like 12 of you. So which of the me's?
As it says me's and you're asking this clarifying question, it darts forward to seek to bite you, and I need you to roll. I need you to roll instigation. What is this word?
Initiative.
Because I am also someone who can't remember words. Initiative. Roll initiative.
8.
And as you're rolling that initiative, this was 8. You hear in response to your last question, Seraphina, you hear.
Defeat us and you will be negotiated with. Do not, and you shall be feasted with.
They want us to fight them, and if we win, they'll tell us stuff, and if not, they're going to eat us.
Well, if we don't win, I guess that doesn't really matter what they would do. We wouldn't have a choice.
Yeah. I got a 10, by the way.
17.
Okay, great. Lua, 17, you go up first. You see them charging forward, a mass conglomeration of rats.
Just the one, correct? Well, the one, the mass.
One mass of rat.
The one mass.
I am going to go... lullaby and good night. And I'm going to cast sleep.
I'm so happy that you're like whatever it is, Kelas, you are, because this makes me happy that you sing everything.
I rolled 18, so starting with the creature that has the lowest hit points, up to 18 hit points of creatures are affected by it.
Okay. Let's see. You said how many?
Just fall asleep.
How many?
18.
Points? 18. You see one of the tangled up rats, and now that when you see it collapse on itself, you can see that the rest are pulling it along still. It's their tails are all entwined in this massive, gross knot.
I'm going to use my last bardic inspiration and cast Unsettling Words. But I guess, I don't know, like, whatever creature seems to be kind of in the lead. And they have to subtract 2 from their next saving throw. That's not a lot, but it will.
Okay, cool.
And I'm going to back up a little. Like, maybe, I don't know, 10 paces, if there's room.
10 paces, great. As you back up a little and you see this massive amount of rats all entangled at the tail, they lunge towards you and they seek to bite at you. Could I have... Does a 17 hit?
Yes.
Okay. And does a... Well, that will hit too. So you're going to take... 7 points of piercing damage and 7 points of slashing damage.
Ouch. Ouch, 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 ouch.
That sounded painful.
You can just see her dress is a little torn in places, and her outfit has, like, essentially, like, bare arms with, like, armbands on, and there's just, like, bleeding points all over her arms from the bite marks.
All right, that takes us to Serafina.
Okay, so I'm going to take out my sickle and slash at the mound of rats. And I am going to cast, because I can cast at will, Green Flame Blade, which is you brandish the weapon used in the spell's casting and make a melee attack with it against one creature you see within 5 feet of you. On a hit, the target suffers the weapon's attack like normal. And then you see a green fire leap from that target to a second target, and they get fire damage equal to your spell casting ability modifier.
Awesome. Roll the attack.
Nope. You. And I get 3.
These rats are on fire!
These rats are on fire.
12?
You fling it, you miss the rats, but some of the green flame just kind of drips off and hits one of them, and you see one of them burn a little bit, and it shrieks in a very ratty voice, kind of separating itself from the chorus of others, and it becomes additional dead weight. But the main bulk of them turn to you, ready to lunge at you at any moment. Gus.
What is the distance from us, and what is the size of this room that they're in? Because we're in the hallway and they're coming through the room, right?
Yeah, they've come up pretty close. I mean, like, you all had to be slightly in it to even just talk, and Serafina was probably at the point of this thing, but Alua, having support and then trying to step back and trying to find, like, a safe zone, you're all at the exit to the space, and you have a fairly open-ended room. It's about 60 feet in length, but you can make out, because of the glowing mushrooms in the distance, that there is additional passageways and such beyond this.
Well, I'm going to go, like, starting right at our feet. I'm going to hold up my Overton City Watch ring that I do not wear because I still miss being in the watch, but I wear it because it does this, and I'm going to cast Entangle 20 feet in front of us.
Oh!
Okay, what is the save?
13 strength.
They did not make the save.
Yay, I wasn't useless in a fight this time.
So, describe how this effect happens, how your entangle effect occurs.
I'm going to say it's just like, it sort of goes in a wave, like vines just kind of shoot up out of the ground and go.
So this wave blasts forth from Gus that you, all three of you, see. And it first catches that massive group of rats that are all entangled upon one another. And you see each of them pulled down into the moss as the moss itself seems to come alive and follow Gus's commands, clinging to them. And then you hear squeaks off in the distance as individual rats that hadn't quite left the area are entangled and grasped and pulled deeper into the moss that they're hiding in.
They can't do shit unless they can beat the DC.
Well, they didn't beat it the first time, so they'll have to figure that out in their next turn. All right.
I don't think I really have bonus actions. I think I'm done. Yeah. I could hex one, but other than that, not really. I'm good.
Okay. That'll take us back up to the beginning of the order with Lua.
I'm going to point at the center of the ball of rats and I'm going to sing. I'm going to cast Dissonant Whispers and I'm going to whisper sing. Your questions are jokes and none of them are funny. And cast Dissonant Whispers. It's a wisdom saving throw of 13.
They just rolled a natural 18. Minus 2.
Dang.
Okay. On a successful save, target takes half as much damage and doesn't have to move away.
Okay. I can't move away anyway, so that would have been...
They'll take... it rounds up, right? Yeah. So they'll take 6 points of damage. I rolled 10. Awesome.
Okay. It is their turn. They're going to try to break free. What is the save? Oh, unless Ulua has a bonus action or anything.
No, I think so. Not anymore.
Gus, what was the save that they need to beat? Never mind. They did not make it. They are still stuck there. When you roll a 5, you just know. Serafina, it's your turn.
I'm not useful in a fight. Oh, here we go. I'm going to... Am I able to touch the rats without getting in the moss?
You would have to go into the moss to touch the rats.
That's not an option. Okay.
Well, you're...
I think you would also get entangled
moss
in my
anyways,
vines.
Based on where you were last.
If you didn't beat the DC, you would get entangled in my vines too. Sorry.
Perfect. So wait, I'm already in the moss from when
moss
I attacked?
Moss is everywhere. But if you step closer to the rats, you'll be in the shape of Gus's stuff.
I see. Okay, in that case, I am going to slash again with my sickle and do the flame blade again.
So you'll have to be up close enough to do this, which is fine because you're in already that close. Roll the attack.
Come on, baby. Yeah. 13.
Okay, that hits exactly.
Hey, where are my d4s? Come here, bag. D4. Okay, here we go.
I laugh like we all don't have a giant bag of dice like that.
So that's a whole 2 points of slashing.
And you saw that green thing going?
Yep, the green thing bounces to one of the other rats, and that is 4?
Okay.
Yes.
You see a couple of rats just fall over. Again, still entangled, but they don't get dragged by the group because they're all restrained right now. So you just see a couple more of them falling. The mass of rats is slowly being winnowed down.
And I don't have any bonus actions, so I'm good.
Okay. Since you are good, that takes us back up to Ulua. Oh, it's Gus's turn. Sorry. Yeah. Bad. In my head, you just went. So just so you know, you had an imaginary turn where I had you go.
How did I do? Did I do a lot of damage?
Yeah, you kept rolling nat 20s. It was really making me mad.
Well, we can keep that.
Just go to her. All right. I'm just gonna Eldritch Blast. So.
Okay. Roll the attack.
Blob of rats.
Add your spell ridiculousness.
16 on the attack. That is 5 damage.
You with my rainbow. See rainbows, or a rainbow, burst from Gus's hand, hitting the rat pile, and another rat is flung backward, almost like unrestrained for a moment as it flies backwards and knocks itself out. Been lucky charmed away. Anything else?
Yeah, I will cast. I will cast Hex. This is just like one target, right? It's just the rat blob.
Yeah. The Hex? Or, yeah, for like, to cast it on spells, one rat. It really functions as a whole. It's a hoodlum, but it's all one creature for
conglomerate of rats.
I'm going to try to think of an ability, which ability would most. I'm going to cast a Dexterity Hex on. Then I'm done.
Okay. Future note to you, if you cast it before you hit them, you get that bonus to your attack, that plus 1d6. So like a ranger, keep that in mind.
I am going to sing Whisper again. The only thing stinkier than this cheese is your jokes. and... It's another wisdom save of 13.
Oh, that's so sad. They did not succeed.
Okay. So yay! That means they can't move, I don't think, but...
they would run away if they could, but they're stuck.
Yes, there's... So that's 16 points of... What is it? Psychic damage. I must immediately use this reaction if available to move as far as its speed allows away from you. But yeah.
Their speed is currently set to 0. Somebody restrain them.
That's fine. and that's it. That's all I'm going to do.
Okay. They are going... You see, as you do this, it's like the first... One is like, it just passed over them. They kind of, but now you can see like three of them. Blood starts to come from a nose of one. One of them's eyes literally become the X sign of death and just flops over. Another one's ear just fully folds down. Then a little bit of like green pus ploops down. Yeah. And another one just collapses on itself a little bit, curled up into a little tiny self-soothing rat bundle. And then the entire horde of them, super upset, tries to rip free with a natural 20 and escape Gus's bounds and immediately launch themselves at Serafina.
That's fun. Come at thee. Ooh,
it's part of a bonus action. Beautiful.
Come at thee.
Actually, yeah, let's just surge as well. We're going to surge and we're going to bonus action. Does a... 15 hit, Serafina. Closest target available.
I think so. It's yes.
You're going to take 7 points of slashing, 7 points of piercing, and then they're going to use their bonus action in their enraged state. And does a 12 hit?
No!
You see that their tails bundle swipe at you and smash into the moss, breaking it apart as they bludgeon the ground but miss you. But you still take that total 14 points of piercing and slashing.
Did you just say they enraged? Is this like a barbarian rat horde?
I don't know what you're talking about. I like to play with stat blocks, don't you? And that takes us to Serafina's turn. You've just been slashed, almost bashed, and pierced by rat. What are you going to do?
Well, now that it's right here,
I am going to do this thing called Inflict Wounds. And I'm going to boop it on one of its nose and I'm going to say, stop it. So that's what I'm going to do.
Okay. Is this an attack roll?
It is, and I'm going to roll.
Okay.
15.
15 definitely hits.
Okay, so then... Wow, this is so many. Okay. Okay, 5, 7, and a 5. So 17 points of damage.
You see rat after rat after rat with the boop. The boop that just hit one snoot still seems to affect multiple rats as they each get booped in turn, as the first rat that was booped is slammed so hard down that it bounces back up and then boops the snoot of another rat, and 5 rats go down. There's so few rats left in this entangled mass. And Serafina, you hear, all right, you're proving yourself, please stop.
That's right. Bad rat mass.
You said they broke out of the entanglement, right? So I think
yes, they have broken out of it.
So I think it would have faded by that point.
Serafina, is that all you're going to do? Or are you going to...
I'm going to go now. Give us information. And look to Ulua, saying, what information?
I'm going to say, call him a punk. It's good for interrogating.
Punk!
Yeah.
I mean, about... If there's a way into...
Are you all disengaging from the battle and...
As long as the rats are, yeah.
Yeah, I'm disengaging. Because I booped them.
All right.
You booped them so good.
So we're out of combat.
I did.
Just shut that down.
You're a super booper.
Super booper.
Okay, so, Alua, I'm asking about...
Snoop you.
What now?
If they know of any area where the Sticky Beak might be trapped, if they can give us directions, or if they know of a space how to get into that other space.
So I look at the rats and I go, he's a Kinku, right? Kinku?
Kinku, yeah.
We're looking for a Kinku that is trapped. How do we get to the area that has collapsed?
The rat's just like kind of quivering and it's just up, and you hear the multitude of voices a little bit. It's upstairs, where the door collapsed in.
How do we get through it now that it's collapsed? Is there a back door?
Roll a persuasion check. With advantage.
Persuasion.
Because you freaked them
out. Yeah, because I booped them. Persuasion.
The rat whisperer.
Blah. Okay. Hooah. Wow, first one it is. Okay, still not great. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
It's okay. They rolled like garbage. The rat mass just... kind of like slowly backs away from you a bit, trying to get space, but another rat moves forward as they're just like, we don't know, you have to dig them out, we can fit through. Another rat slips forward a little bit out of the mess, kind of like extracting itself finally from the moss, and it comes forward and goes, well, if you follow me, I can show you a way that I get up there, but you might be a bit too big.
Will we be too big, or will we not be too big?
Sure.
So this one says that we can follow him, and there will be an entrance that I asked him if we'll fit. Will we fit, or will we not fit? And he said, sure.
Is there not another... Okay, I guess. What do you think? And I turn to Gus.
Is there, if we go through this room, there's not another way through?
What is through this room? Can we go through this room to get to the other room?
You hear pipe up. Oh, the Rat Kingdom. Would you like to come and join us?
It is the Rat Kingdom. Oh. Gus.
Well.
I feel like we should not disturb the Rat Kingdom.
That seems not ideal, for sure.
Alua, should we go to the Rat Kingdom or just follow the rat?
Is that where the entrance is? What did they say?
I just asked what's that direction, and they said the Rat Kingdom.
Well, I'd certainly wouldn't want to intrude, and I think we should probably get to Sticky Beak. We could maybe say we could visit another time.
Okay. The pretty one says, that one says that we can visit another time to your lovely Rat Kingdom, but we need to go help our friend. So if you could show us the way into a way that we will fit. Oh, thank you.
This way. And it kind of looks at the mass conglomeration of rats, and you can see three of the rats in that conglomeration kind of nod their head to it. And then it nods and it scurries back up the passageway you've come down.
Off we go.
Following it, you go back up to the room with the collapse and then across and down into the other dark, unlit space. And as you come around the corner, it doesn't go quite as deep down as the other one had gone, but you come to an area where you can see a what looks like, as the rat circles up it, a well. Or at least the bottom of a well. And as you look up, you can see that there's a bit of light up above. It's a little tight and narrow, but you can see how you could probably climb, possibly. And just as you kind of make this out, the rat disappears from view.
Okay, thank you.
Are you two all right? Would you like to rest?
I certainly need to tend to some of these. They packed a harder punch than I expected.
I'm going to go up to Alua, and I go, may I have your hand, please, kind lady?
Of course.
And then when she gives me her hand, I am going to cast Cure Wounds! 8 points to the pretty lady.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, as you cast this magic that is your healing, do you have a descriptor of what that looks like for anybody? Or?
Oh gosh, I don't know for her. Maybe just like a glow in between my hands. That like my hand. Have you ever put a flashlight like to your hand?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of a look. That's awesome. That's what it looks like. That's what my hands look like on hers.
So yeah, your skin begins to glow with the light of her magical thing, and you can feel Alua, a warm tingling sensation flow from Serafina's fingertips, and you feel many but not all of the wounds close and become soothed.
And I just kind of like chuck her under the chin and go, thanks, I needed that.
Yeah, no problem.
I just look between them like... And then I'm gonna like try to climb up the thing.
Go ahead and roll an athletics check.
So is there... Climb up what thing? I missed... What are you climbing?
The way through. There's something we had to climb.
We're like under a well.
Right, but what is there to climb? Just the wall?
The well. You can climb up the wall. Like I said before, it looks like it's possibly climbable.
Like that?
I mean, yeah. I rolled an 8, so I did not succeed in probably climbing up the wall.
Yeah, you go to climb, and then you just hear the scraping noise as Gus maybe makes it to your waist height, And then just nails on chalkboard a little.
That didn't work.
Well, actually, I do have something that might help, I think, I guess. And I don't have a bag of holding, but I guess maybe just for the sake of the storytelling in this case, it would be helpful to have a bag that hides the size of things, but doesn't necessarily hold more things than a normal bag, if that makes sense.
It's like a collapsible broom.
Maybe. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like, it... Just because I
collapsible
haven't...
Collapsible broom, okay. Not a bag of holding or shrinky dinks or anything like that, because that can get really rough.
Well, it's more... It's more...
Like, you hold out your hand and it just appears. I don't know.
Technically, no. I can do that, but I would be more inclined to... I probably have it on my person, so let's go with it's collapsible.
Yeah. Let's go with the collapsible broom.
So I pull out this broom, and it kind of is like Jason's collapsible cane, where you just, it's like a, like whatever, there's like a bungee core or whatever, and it comes together. And I sit in the back, and I say, and I put like one leg over the other, and I gesture to Seraphine, and I go, okay, now you here, dear.
Are you sure you don't want Gus there?
I think it'll make sense just in terms of weight distribution to go. I guess maybe if that's more comfortable for you. I have no preference. I'm just
No. I'll sit there.
Okay.
And I get on and I scoot so that like I'm like just far, like just away from her. Like getting as close to her as I can without actually touching her.
All right. And now, Gus, you in front.
I'm going to take out of my bag an immovable rod, and then I'm going to stick it in the air as a step, and then step up on it, get onto the broom, and then grab the rod.
Step stool. With your combined body weight, the broom sags pretty low.
Right, but it can carry up to 400 pounds.
Yes, with your combined body weight, it is currently sagging. Gotta remember, people have their materials and stuff on them, and it's sagging pretty low.
So it won't fly?
Can try, but you're gonna have to use some checks to see if you can make it up.
Okay. All right, I'm gonna say the command word, which is... Or I'm gonna make it a phrase and say, away we go!
Ooh, fun. Away we go.
Away we
and
go.
I'm not necessarily trying to fly or make it up through the... I'm just trying to rise up so that, it, you know, we can possibly... They can climb out and then...
Roll an Arcana check.
Arcana. 18?
Awesome. You begin to rise with the broom, and you can feel that it's at or past the weight limit. It's juddering as it goes, and you know, just based on this new experience, that should you ever try to fly in a situation where you have to deal with wind or it's a tenser situation, this probably wouldn't work as it judders up there and it shakes and it vibrates. You finally crest the top of where the well space is, and you can make out a closed door with a candle lit on the other side of it, creating a glow underneath of it in a small chamber. And it appears that the well you rose through is actually a toilet.
Gus, can you get through?
I will climb through the toilet.
You clamber out. You make your way through.
This is nasty. I will climb out and then flip up the toilet.
Each person coming off, makes the broom steadier, so it makes it easier and easier as you're doing it. So I won't have any rolls for that. But you all climb out of the toilet, and you're in a small, small room of convenience with a door in front of you, the other side lit by a candle.
Well, I have to say that was definitely one of my less glamorous entrances. As I, like, pick up the broom and put it back in my bag. Definitely going to need a hot bath after this.
Yeah.
I guess we move forward?
After you?
Opening the door. I don't know who's opening the door.
I guess I will.
You catch a startled Sticky Beak, busy at work, moving string along a wall with pictures, your typical, prototypical map of something, where there's images and clippings and other bits and bobs and various names that make sense or don't make sense. And startled, Sticky Beak turns and goes, oh, you made it. Through the bathroom?
Mm-hmm.
No, and with I don't, that, yeah. We're going to close off. We hope you all enjoyed this little rendition of making our way to meet a friend as we close out this little chapter. And in our next act, we'll see what Sticky Beak actually is seeking, and we will start a new arc then. Thank you all for joining us. Very, very much. We hope you find your pod, and goodbye.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.